It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. And you are about to enjoy the Ask Ross segment on the Keystone Kickoff Show. And it is brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all of your barbecue, barbecue sauce, barbecue rub needs. Check out their website, 409tailgateclub.com. I've got your questions submitted on the Ask Ross tab of our app, Keystone Sports. If you're not doing it, if you don't have it on your phone, you're not doing it.
There
right.
You go, Andy. Sorry. Everybody get Thank the you. App and everybody follow us on Twitter as well, at KSN Sportsnet.
There you go. All right, Ross, these are their questions. You're going to answer them. The
Love
listener
it.
Deemed with the top
that
question.
That dude that we kept messing with, he just gave up, didn't he?
He did give up.
I blame Bob for that.
Don't blame me.
Yeah,
blame yourself.
Yeah, this is your segment. It's called Ask Ross. So if your question is deemed the number one this week by Ross, you will win a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get a various rubs, sauces, and a tailgate with honor apron. Okay, Ross, you ready?
Yes.
This is from Ethan in New York. He says, hey, guys, thanks for the great show. Which position coach on Penn State staff do you think has the most head coaching potential? Thanks.
Position coach. So that means coordinators do not count?
I would rule coordinators out.
Why don't you go overall and then just position? You can give two answers if you want.
I mean, overall, I would say I think both Ricky Ronnie and Brent Pry are going to be head coaches.
Okay.
You know, Ricky Ronnie has sort of have that trajectory. He's Ivy League guy, smart guy, offensive coordinator at Penn State. I think they'll have success. Pry, it sounds like, already was close to getting some. So I think both those guys will be head coaches at some point, at some level. I don't know what point that is or what level that is, but those guys are both coordinators. Of the position coaches, I don't know all those guys as closely or as well.
Well, they got, three or four new ones?
Yeah, I don't know the new guys. I would say you hear great things about Sean Spencer.
Right.
You know, he'd almost be sort of like your Ed Orgeron type of head coach.
That's right.
And I mean that
That's
as a compliment.
Call. Yeah,
that's
really right.
Line coach that ended up because of his passion and energy. I also think Terry Smith, because he's
high school
done
head
it
coach.
Before. Yeah, he's done it before as a high school head coach, and he kind of has a measured, thoughtful approach. So I would say out of the position coaches, Sean Spencer and Terry Smith.
And more often than not, the position coaches, if they've never been coordinators, they almost have to become coordinators usually, and then they take the head coaching step. Not all the time, but you don't usually see somebody go
very rare
position coach, head coach.
Very rare.
All right, let's keep it moving. This is from Zwie Glassman from Philadelphia, but now lives in Los Angeles. He says, Ross, you often speak about the dislike of Matt Limegrover's shuffling of offensive linemen rather than letting linemen settle in at a perfect position. How much of the shuffling is philosophical by Langrover, do you think, versus the function of emergence from the sanctions and thin depth?
I don't think it's the second at all. I mean, he moved around a lot of guys this past season after they'd already played well in 2016 and they got to the Rose Bowl and won the Big Ten.
Right.
So I don't think it has anything to do with the sanctions anymore. I think in his mind, he's trying to get the best five guys out there. And in fairness to Matt, he is there every day at practice.
Mm-hmm.
Every meeting, he sees these guys. I guess I've never really gotten a great explanation for why they had to move Mann and Bates the way they did. I don't think they thought anybody else could play center. And they might end up putting Mann at center and McGovern at guard this year. But I think last year, Mennett wasn't ready for that. They didn't have a guy that was ready for that.
So they
had to have McGovern at center. But then to move Mann to right guard different side, inside rather than outside. And honestly, it worked out okay. I wouldn't do that unless you have to. You know, I played all five spots, and I felt like I was kind of jack of all trades, master of none.
Right.
You know, you don't really get proficient in anything until you get 10,000 reps at the same spot over and over and over again. Let's just hope, and Bob, I want you to chime in on this. Let's just hope that they settle on a five as early in camp as possible. Yeah. So they get to that first game and they're like roaring. Because I don't – how – when did they – do we know when they settled on last year's group configuration, when that was like a done deal?
No, because there were some other pieces involved. They went into the season thinking at some point Andrew Nelson was going to be one of their best five. And they kind of tried to get him healthy in the offseason. He didn't work a lot. And they once they put him on the field, it was the Iowa game.
It was a disaster.
They could tell that Will Fries needed to step in and help. So I think it's going to be a couple of points. I think they're going to take a long look at a couple of things in August. And to your point about Mennett not being ready last year, I think this spring they found out that he is now physically ready to be a D1 lineman. And now that they know that he's ready, I think that's why James has gone back to saying, we know he's ready. And he might be a better center than McGovern, and we might switch him back. There's no other reason for him to have spent most of the spring at one position and then to move him in to another, unless they were just trying to see
if he was ready.
If he was ready, right. All the way around.
And if you look at them, I mean, Mennett and his skill set in every way screams center. And McGovern and his skill set in every way screams guard. It doesn't mean they can't play the other one. But physically, that's what they look like.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and this Ask Ross segment is being brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That's 409tailgateclub.com. All right, question three comes from Bryce in Port Allegheny, Pennsylvania. He says, Ross, first off, nothing better than an ice-cold Labatt Blue.
Nice. I like people,
brownie points.
I like people that mention Daddy Soda's, number one, and number two, Labatt, since they're a sponsor now of the Keystone Kickoff Show.
All right, now on to football. We expect to see a lot of Tommy Stevens in two quarterback formations this season, but we learned from the blue-white game that we could also possibly see many two running back formations than in the past couple years. Do you see Penn State scoring more touchdowns this season out of a two quarterback or a two running back formation?
I don't like this question, by the way. I can tell you this
isn't the
winner.
I thought you liked it in the beginning. You don't like it because it's making you think, or you don't
like
it because it's...
I don't picture them scoring very many touchdowns out of either set.
Huh.
How often did they do a two-back set last year? How about
no,
never?
But they did a lot of it in the spring. They did a good bit of it in the spring, yeah. And in the spring game, they did a lot of two-backs.
And who's the second back?
It was – well, it depends on whether it was a blue-white team. It was – you know, they were using Journey Brown, and they were looking at
– I didn't notice this.
I think Sutherland. I think they were a little short on – so they had a couple veteran wideouts that were either hurt or they didn't want to work, like DeAndre Tompkins and Juwan Johnson. He was in a boot for the blue-white game. I think you saw the two-back set in the spring game more out of necessity at times. And I do think that – I think even Ricky was asked about it. I think that is something that will be – if you see it, it's going to be a rare occurrence. I would say that.
I think the answer is two quarterbacks. The answer to the question is two – I don't think there's going to be very many two running back sets. So I think it would be two quarterbacks if we're including the Lion.
We include the Lion.
Dude, think about – I mean
– Red zone.
Still the first time I've ever heard a position made up. When did they stop
it's
having
a, good one
a hero?
Too.
That was a term in the 80s, I know.
Mike Hall might have been the last one. Hall was like a – wasn't he?
I thought the hero was a Paterno
– strong safety,
yeah,
right?
It was a strong safety. It was okay. Wasn't
that Mike Hall?
Yeah.
No.
It wasn't Mike Hall.
I think that went out when Paterno went out.
I don't even think there was a hero – during his last, I think when Bradley.
Growing up, I wanted to be the hero.
I think when Bradley was the DC, I don't think they had a hero.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Dave in Center Valley, Pennsylvania. He says, Ross, really enjoy your passion and insight on Penn State football. G- Given your Tucker's tape evaluation on Devin Ford, what former Penn State running back do you think he compares to most favorably? My pick might be Evan Royster. He had incredible vision but didn't possess breakaway speed. It seems like Ford could potentially be a slightly better version of Royster. Interested to hear what you think.
I think he's more explosive than Royster. Okay. I think he's a better athlete than Royster.
Did you play with Royster?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No. I think he's a better athlete than Royster. I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't really thought. Ooh. You know, I think I told you he reminds me of Miles Sanders. You know, he reminds me a lot of Miles Sanders and a little bit of Ricky Slade. Like, they clearly have a prototypical guy they're looking for. I'm trying to go back through my Penn State, you know, brain. Maybe a little Kenny Watson, who I
ooh, I like that one.
Harrisburg, huh?
Way to dig that one out. That's a good dig.
I think
who for some reason played wide receiver for Penn State
and D-back and special teams.
I think Royster outperformed his recruiting ranking by a significant amount. He was almost as good as a lacrosse player in Virginia, and he took the ball and run with it, I think, as a redshirt freshman in 07. He might have been in a timeshare.
Is he still the all-time leading rusher?
Yeah.
Or did Saquon beat
Saquon that? Only played 3 years, couldn't catch him. He ran out of he came within a couple hundred
that
yards of
him. That is like the strangest Penn State stat, that Evan Royster is the all-time leading rusher.
Correct.
That's bizarre.
You're going to have to probably play 4 years to get him, and if you're a good running back, you're not going to play four years. That's the riddle. Yeah, that's the riddle. Yeah.
You have to be really pretty good.
You have to be really pretty good.
But you can't be really good.
All right, let's go. Let's get one more. Jared from Talmadge, Ohio says, to the best Dan Patrick Show substitute host.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
What are the
These
meal
people
perks?
Are very knowledgeable.
What are the meal perks of a Penn State football player while on campus and in the facility? Do walk-ons have any restrictions versus a scholarship player?
So I don't know the answer to this, but this is the winner. This is a great question. I'm sure they have an unbelievable training table, Bob. And I don't think the walk-ons are allowed to, or at least they don't get it for free. I don't know, Bob.
No, you're at the walk-ons at the training table, that's a little above even. I don't know. I know that they've upgraded that portion of it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're on a special plan that does not include like a per diem or anything like Trace McSorley gets.
Any other benefits outside the education that the average fan might know about? I would say gear. The gear they get.
Lots of gear
is
free.
Sweet.
Free like Gatorade and stuff. Like, right. You know, they have
Chick
these
stick football
things.
Players, Penn State football players in general.
It doesn't hurt. I went to Penn State one time. I had my number on a chain around my neck. So are you on the football team? Yes. Yes, I am. I didn't say it was Princeton.
All right, who's
I'm
your
on
winner?
The football team. Winner's the last one.
All right.
Ohio food.
All right, that'll do it for Ask Ross. Coming up, we close strong with quarter number four. Top 25 list. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.